Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Okay, shalom everyone. I'm going to continue this meeting. We are going to continue with the book of Hebrews using the second chapter, having the second chapter, Hebrews chapter 2 before us. The lesson that we have from this letter that the Hebrew writer wrote to these early first century Jewish believers. So if you turn please to Hebrews chapter 2, and we are going to read today from verse 5. Hebrews chapter 2. Beginning with verse 5, and I'm reading. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Yeshua, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man or for everything. And I'll stop here. This is the second chapter of the book of Hebrews. Beautiful chapter, even though you and I might not understand everything immediately, but it is a beautiful chapter that teaches us that Yeshua the Messiah is, in addition to the fact that he is superior to the angels because of his divinity, because he is God, in this chapter we learn that Yeshua the Messiah is superior than the angels in his humanity as a man. Now, remember, we are studying the book of Hebrews. I think, and I do believe, that it is important for us to look back 2,000 years, about 2,000 years, or 1,900 years ago, where the Hebrew writer wrote to these Jewish people, to these Hebrews. What we see today, and what they have experienced then, while there is a lot of similarities, there are a lot of things which are really different. Remember, then the temple was existing. Today, we don't have any temple. Then the sacrificial system was in existence. Today, we do not have sacrifices. Then the priesthood was still sustained and active at that particular time. Today, we don't have any priesthood. Then the law, per se, was still in final fulfillment because the Messiah was there. He fulfilled everything, and that not too many years after he have died, that these early believers have accepted this letter. Today, we are far long beyond this age. We are here in the year 2008, that the vast majority of Christians, of believers, are not Jewish, are not Hebrews. There's so much similarity, yet there is so much difference between what the time in which this letter had been written to those Hebrews and the time in which you and I live today. And they were called to follow the Lord Yeshua the Messiah in spite of the fact that everything was the rituals and the processions and the sacrifices have been going on. They were called to continue on into a mature believers in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, in spite of what was going on still among our people. And so remember, in chapter 1 and in chapter 2, those two chapters, we have the superiority of Yeshua the Messiah over the angels, on the one hand as a divine God, the Son, on the other hand as a man. And in between the two, there was the break in which you and I have been speaking about in our last meeting together. There was a warning that had been given unto those Hebrews. As if the writer is pausing for a moment, he stopped right here as he was proclaiming the message of the superiority of Yeshua, of the Lord Jesus, as a divine person over the angels. He's stopping, he's giving a warning to those believers, and then he continues on. And from verse 5 of chapter 2, it's a continuing on of what he finished in chapter 1 and verse 14. I want you to see the link. Chapter 1 and verse 14, it says like this. Are they not, speaking about the angels, are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Verse 5 of chapter 2. For unto the angels has he not put in subjections the world to come whereof we speak. You see, he's continuing to speak about the angels. He's continuing to tell those Hebrew believers about the angels and that they need to look to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, beyond those angels. But he gave them a little warning. It was more than just a little warning. But he gave them the warning, that the first warning, which we have covered last time, be careful to pay attention to God's word. Otherwise, you will drift. And as he said this to them, he's speaking to us. Be careful, believers, to take heed to God's word, because otherwise, it will drift away and we will be going in a way that is not pleasing to the Lord, which, what's going to happen, will bring about judgment. Why? When the angels of God said something, judgment came. When the Lord Jesus the Messiah says another thing and we refuse to accept his word, judgment will come even upon the believers as well. And that's why he's that pause. He's pausing them, giving them the first warning that is found in Hebrews, in the whole letter of Hebrews. The first warning. There are more to come, but he gave them the first warning in verses 1 to 4 of chapter 2. And now we are moving on into this continuation of the superiority of Yeshua the Messiah over the angels. But this time, he is not emphasizing his divine nature, but he is emphasizing his humanity. And you notice verses 5 to 9, he's talking about Yeshua as a man. And look at this, brothers and sisters. He began with this. He began with verse 5, where he tells them that the angels are servants and they are not rulers. Even though they are so important in Hebrew history, even though they are so important in Jewish history, they were used by God for to serve the people of Israel, to give Israel the law, and to minister, to serve them. Michael was an angel that had been assigned for the nation of Israel. Gabriel was a nation that spoke in time past, was used by God to speak, and many other angels. But he's saying, you know, even though they are important, to them, God never gave the power to be rulers over this world. And he says in verse 5, you notice, he says in verse 5, for unto the angels he has not, underline the word not, unto the angels he has not put in subjection the world to come about which we are speaking. Now, what does he mean? To the angels, he did not put in subjections the world to come. You know, a lot of people talking about the world to come. You know, we're living in a world, you know, we are in the new age now. It's a special age in which we are talking about the new age movement and all kind of new age, new world system and new world expressions and so on. But what we really have here, when he's speaking about the world to come, he's speaking about the messianic age. You see what he's saying here? He's saying to the angels, God did not put in subjection the messianic age or the millennial age. Now remember, he's talking to Hebrews. When the Hebrew writer writing to those Hebrew believers, telling them about the age to come and the world to come, they understand what he's saying. What he's saying, he's speaking about a millennial age or a time that is going to come where the Messiah will reign, where the Messiah will be as king, where everything will be in subjection to this coming Redeemer, to the coming Messiah. So he knew what he was telling to them. And he reminded them, you see, brethren, you see, Hebrews, you see, look, when the age will come, the future age, the messianic age that you are looking forward so much to this age, the angels will not be the ones who are going to rule in this age. Even though they are so powerful, they've been given so much charge and responsibility. They are to serve God, to serve the people of God. But to them, God didn't give the responsibility to rule in the future world to come. Now, every Jewish person today, and I'm telling you, every time when I visit Israel, you will talk in Israel, there is so many songs that we sing about when the Messiah will come. There will be finally a day of peace, finally a time of shalom, finally a time where we are going to be a blessed nation and the whole world will enjoy this messianic age. Now, we know it today as believers that it will be 1,000 years. The only reason that we know that it will be 1,000 years, not because it is written in the Old Testament, but because we have it in the book of the Revelation, where we talk about that he will reign for 1,000 years, where Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. That's how you and I know that this age, messianic age, world to come, will be for 1,000 years. We are not talking about the eternal order. We are talking about the messianic age, an age where God is going to rule over this world. The angels, though great, though privileged, though serving God, to them God did not put in subjections the world to come about what we are speaking, the writer is saying to those Hebrews. Now, what is that messianic age? You know, we live in such a terrible age today. So many problems. Look at what's going on in this world in which we live today. In world in which we live, the inhabited world in which we live in today, there is nothing but sin, corruption, sorrow, sadness, and murders, killing, weeping, tears, death, and all that is in the present world in which we live in. That's the world in which we live in. But those Hebrews were anticipating a world to come in which the Messiah will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let me just show you what some of the Hebrews prophets were talking about. Turn to Psalm 72. Any Hebrew who read his Bible would immediately refer to some of these wonderful verses in the Bible, in the Hebrew scriptures, that speaks about the king and the kingdom that will come in a coming day. It says in Psalm 72, I'm just going to highlight some verses there. Verse 1, it is a psalm for Solomon. Some suggest it's a psalm of Solomon, or is this a psalm for Solomon that David wrote? Solomon was a type of the Messiah. Even though Solomon failed, he was only a type of the coming Redeemer, the coming Messiah of Israel. It says in verse 1, give the king thy judgment, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment.
The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hill by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy. He shall break in pieces the oppressors. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. He shall come down like a rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Listen to verse 7. In his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have, listen to this, dominion also from sea to sea, and from river unto the end of the ends of the earth. Verse 11. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. Verse 17. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. And verse 18 says, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel. Israel, the Hebrews, they were looking for the day in which the king will reign. They're looking for the age, the kingdom age, where there will be righteousness. Everything will be done in accordance with the will of God. They were looking for the kingdom to come. And now these Hebrews, who were anticipating the kingdom to come, they came and they've acknowledged that Yeshua is the Messiah, but their own brethren, the rest of the nation, haven't come yet to faith in the Messiah. And so they were discouraged. And so they were tempted to go back to the sacrificial system. And here the writer saying to them, listen, the angels, though great they were, to them and under them, God did not put the world to come. He did not put it in subjection under them at all. He did not put it in subjection under the angels. But he gave that responsibility one day to the coming Messiah, to the coming Redeemer. And there are other verses that I can read to you that are found in many other passages in the Bible, in the Hebrew prophet. In Isaiah chapter 32, Isaiah said, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and a prince shall rule in judgment. Looking to the future of the kingdom age, when the king will rule in righteousness, it has to do with the king, the coming king. That's the age to come. That's the world to come, in speaking about the messianic age that is soon going to come. And these Hebrews were anticipating this messianic age that was going to come. And so the writer is telling them, listen, the angels are not the one that are going to be the one, the rulers of this world. You see, in the Bible we have three times the word the age or the inhabited earth. The world that was, the world that is, and the world that will come. The world that was, take us prior to the time of the flood, when Noah and his family were still in the world before the judgment of God came. And that world God had to erase completely, leaving only Noah, his wife, the three sons, and their wives. You can read this in 2 Peter chapter 3, the last book of Peter. And then there is the world that is now is, and that the world in which you and I live in today. And this world will come to an end, beloved brothers and sisters, where the final judgment of God will come at the tribulation period where God is going to judge this world. But there is the world to come. And that's the age, the messianic age, where the Lord Yeshua the Messiah will reign, and he is the one that's going to have his rightful place. It's not going to be the eternal state as yet, but it is still called in the Bible the world to come. In the Greek, it's a oikumene, which has to do with the inhabited earth of the future day. People are going to be around here under the kingship of the king and the Messiah himself. So the angels did not receive that responsibility over the world to come. And so now, in verses 6, 7, and 8, in Hebrews chapter 2, the writer telling them, quoting Psalm 8, which we have already read, he is quoting Psalm 8 and showing to us, showing to these Hebrews, how God have intended to give the world and the responsibility of this world to mankind, to Adam and his descendants. And look what he's saying in verse 6. But one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crown him with glory and honor. You did set over him the works of thine hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection unto his feet. And then he continues and he gives us another remark. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is put under him, but now we yet not see yet all things put under him. Now let's pause here for a moment. Very interesting verses. You see, the writer is now saying to the Hebrews, you know, in a certain place, somebody wrote once upon a time. Obviously, for you and I, we page back. Remember, they didn't have the New Testament passages. We are turning back, and he began to quote to them from Psalm 8. He's literally quoting Psalm 8, verses 4, 5, and 6. And what does it say in Psalm 8? You remember, Psalm 8 is a psalm that was written by David. David, the shepherd of Israel, when he was shepherding the sheep, he was in Bethlehem, perhaps. He is Ben Yishai. It was David Ben Yishai, the son of Jesse. He is a shepherd. You remember, he was a wonderful son of the father of Yishai. He was a shepherd boy. And what did David do? He wrote many Tehillim, many songs. And perhaps once upon a time, David took his flock to the field, and David was laying down, and he's looking at the creation of God. Have you ever had an opportunity to do that? Years ago, Irene, my wife Irene, and I have been in Sinai. This is after my military service. And we took a little tour with a group of people in a huge jeep, a big truck. We went into the desert for 4 days, desert tour in Sinai. And we just, at nighttime, no tents, no building, nothing. You just take your sleeping bag on the sand, and you lay down and you just look up to heaven. And you look at the beauty of God's creation. You can almost like take the stars one by one, pick them with your hands almost. In the Middle East, in the land of Israel. And I remember that when laying down there and watching the creation of God, the power of God, the beauty of God's creation. David, very much the same. Again, remember, he is the Hebrew. He is writing a psalm about the God of Israel. And it says to the chief musician, a psalm of David. David perhaps was laying there and he says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength. Because of your enemies, that thou might steal the enemies and the avenger. And then he said in verse 3, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the star which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him? What is man that you even visit him? See, David, look back. He's laying down there as a shepherd, perhaps on the sides of the fields of Bethlehem. He's laying down at night, and he's looking at the creation. He says, oh Lord, he says, when I consider the heavens, the works of your hands, Lord, The moon and the stars which you have ordained, it must have been an evening session. He's looking up and he sees the greatness of God's creation. I cannot understand how people say that there is no God. All what they need to do is to sit down one day in an evening in a clear night, and they look at the stars and the moon, and they see the creation of God. It's so humbling. It's moving our hearts to realize we are just like a little speck here in the great creation of God. David looking up, and he saw the creation of God, and he was so overwhelmed. So overwhelmed with God's creation. And he asked God, God, look at you. Look at the power that you have, the authority that you have, the creation that you have made everything. And then he looks at it himself. And he says, what is man? What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? Why you even bother with us? You are such a great creator, God. You have made everything, the star and the moon and everything, the sky and the heavens, everything the work of your hands. God, what are we that you even bother with us? What is man? And by the way, you notice if you read carefully Psalm 8 verse 4, twice the word man is mentioned. But there are two different Hebrew words here. The first man, what is man, is the Hebrew word anosh or anush or enosh. The second son of man is the word in Hebrew Adam. Ben Adam, son of Adam. The first one is enosh, the second one is Adam.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.